Today's lesson is entitled Stagnating Christian Growth. One of the things that I put emphasis on, and Chris and I put emphasis on in our studies together, is people growing. Are we in positions to help elicit growth in people's spiritual walks, in their lives, to show how to live the best lives there are to live possibly? From what the scripture Bronson read, we see that there's great joy in new Christians growing in the faith. There's also great joy in seeing people who've been Christians for many years continuing to grow in their faith. The dilemma that we will find is when people think that they have reached where they need to reach and think that they're at the height of where they can be spiritually. There is no time where that should occur. We should always be striving to continue to grow. One thing that we can see is that there are many factors here in this world that can cause Christian growth to stagnate. One thing that we see is that we find that we'll have to battle the same battles that we had to endure before. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. When we consider what the New Testament tells us to do, nowhere do we find the Bible seeks for us to have a emotional response. We never seek a feeling in the New Testament church. What we seek is obedience. When we find what we must do, and we do that, we can feel glad. And that's exactly what we see the eunuch has done. He's been immersed into Christ. He came up from the watery grave of baptism and he went on his way rejoicing. How did you feel after you obeyed the gospel? I know that I felt clean. I had that excitement. And you know, sometimes that excitement can wane, can't it? We consider the excitement that we have because we have a joyful anticipation. But with that joy, we soon discover that when we decided to obey the gospel, we'll still have some of the same trials back at home, back at the office, and things of that nature. We can compare this to Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. We see the issue that comes is some preach a prosperity gospel. We can find that on television on Sunday mornings. That they preach that if you'll become a Christian, all of your wildest dreams will come true. And if those wild dreams don't come true, it's because you haven't given enough money to this television ministry. We do a disservice to new Christians and seasoned Christians alike by saying that our Christian walk will be easier when we obey the gospel. This isn't true. We'll soon learn that temptations are just as strong as they were before we obeyed the gospel. We'll find that even though we have forgiveness of sins, that temptation will still find us and that we will still have to battle with that. So how can we help with those who are struggling in this area? We see in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. I lost my glasses this morning. And I had contacts in my desk. And the left one popped right in. The right one wouldn't stay. And I'm right eye dominant. So if you see me up here squinting, I finally just couldn't read that anymore. Turned to the side. So don't want you to think I'm more of a weirdo than you already do. We're going to see that the battles we face are the same as they were. And this transformation takes time and it takes effort. We're all going to fall down. We're going to mess up. But those who are mature, who have been Christians for a longer period of time, Let's work with the younger Christians. Let's help them stand up when they fall. When we consider the difficulties that we endured as younger Christians, remember that those who obey the gospel are still coming out of those difficulties. Difficulties that we still face today. Everyone battles temptations. But we also can let each other know that we have a God who forgives. When we fall to those temptations, seasoned or not, we have a God who forgives if we truly are repentant. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in 1 John 2, 1, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Christianity can be difficult. It's the best life that can possibly be lived. But unfortunately, sometimes we don't view this life as we would view the sinful life. We don't have the enthusiasm that some have with the enthusiasm they have being lost. And sometimes we find people who are sitting on the fence that will live the Christian life but hate it every step of the way. I'm doing what I need to do. I'm punching my card. Friends say, well, where are you going Sunday morning? I'm going to church services. Oh, wow, I want to go now. That sounds great. That sounds fun. I want to be a part of that. Almost you persuade me to become a Christian. This is the best life that there is to live. And the enthusiasm that can go with that is very contagious. Let's not only live the life that we've been called to live, but let's be happy about it. Because it truly is a joyful life. And it's when we live the Christian life and enjoy the Christian life and enjoy being with one another is when we can grow spiritually together, grow bonds as a family, and our light will shine bright to the surrounding areas where our congregation meets. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we read, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. It's one thing to act right when you got Hal or Grady or Weldon with you. It's one thing to act right when you've got someone that you don't want to disappoint next to you. You know, that's reputation. You don't want to hurt your reputation. Character is what you do when no one is around to see it. Let's develop our character. Let's fight these weaknesses that we had before, but do so with power, knowing that being obedient to the Word of God will lead to an eternity so amazing that words can't describe it. Are we going to face the same battles that we did before we were Christians, whether that be a few months or 50 years? Absolutely. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that life gets easier. It doesn't mean trials won't come. And it doesn't mean temptations won't be there, for they will. Let's work together. Let's lift each other up. Let's not stagnate growth thinking we have to do this on our own. We'll stand before Almighty God by ourselves. But we can lock arms as a family, work together so that many can spend an eternity with God the Father in heaven. We also find that people around us can cause us to stumble. Those can be our friends who are in the world that have no desire to be obedient. But heartbreakingly, that can also be because of Christians who don't walk as they should. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 and 14, we read what Paul did to Cephas, who was Peter. "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party." He was playing favorites. Paul rebuked him to his face. Peter was drawing people in the wrong direction. This inconsistency could have discouraged those who were around. Do we see inconsistency even here in the family of North Jefferson? Do you feel that you're inconsistent with your walk with Christ? One of the things that really drew me to the work here at North Jefferson are the different things, the different opportunities that there are to grow in your faith. We're starting our campus ministry. We're going to start Lads to Leaders. We've got not only one ladies' Bible class, we've got two ladies' Bible classes. We have work days that went fantastic. I mean, I was on fire yesterday, let me tell you. So a little background on that. Donnie let me drive his riding lawnmower. I'm just driving away. All of a sudden, I start seeing smoke. I'm like, well, that's odd. Then I started feeling heat. And I looked down, and the lawnmower's on fire. Leaves had caught up under there. And I turn it off, and I jump off the lawnmower. And then there's Daniel to save the day. And he came over and was pulling out leaves, and I burned the oil cap. And Daniel found the part that melted because it melted on his gloves. So really, really set fire to it. But we had a great work day yesterday. I would encourage you, come to the work day. Come to the work day. I got to get to know people better than I had the opportunity to before. And I feel that not only did we have a lot of fun working together, we did something for a sweet sister in Christ and her family. I look forward to these work days and appreciate Donnie for getting these organized. We should be looking for opportunities like this. We've got VBS coming up. We've got a gospel meeting coming up. We have all kinds of activities that some are escaping my mind that are opportunities for us to grow in our Christian walk, or to grow in our relationships with others. If we want to stagnate our growth or kill the excitement of new converts, let's just not get involved. You know what? We got up awful early yesterday. Donnie, you're mean. Could have slept in. You know, Bible only says we need to come to worship once. So I'm here Sunday morning, punched my ticket. Not going to be back Sunday evening, even though the elders have said they feel it's best for the flock to come back. A lot can be said about the attitude of people who don't want to be involved. It's not that we're doing it for attendance purposes or gold stars. We're doing it because it's the best thing that we can do to grow. It's the best way to love others and have others love us. People around us can cause issues. People around us can cause us to stumble. And when we have new converts, one thing that can really stifle their growth is neglecting them. What we often see in the Church of Christ is we'll study with someone, they'll obey the gospel, then we'll say, "You sit down and figure the rest of it out," and leave them alone. And then if they leave, go, "Well, they must have They must not have been serious about it anyway. Isn't that a horrible attitude? Isn't that a terrible attitude? When someone obeys the gospel, let's rally around them. Let's work with them. Let's show them how much we love and appreciate them. And that's more than just a handshake on Sunday. Let's take our Christianity seriously and understand what our actions can do to those who may be weaker around us. So what can we do to be better examples? In Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Barnabas was the encourager. Barnabas was the one who helped people accept Paul. And Peter's influence was so strong, Barnabas was led astray. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, who's Peter before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We need to set better examples. If you are comfortable with the example that you set now, you need to look in the mirror and find if that will reflect what our example should be biblically. When we consider the example that we should set, we can look to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in your speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Paul was writing to young Timothy here, telling him, you do the right things, and people can't say bad things about you, or if they do, it won't be taken seriously. No matter what your age is, we need to set believers an example in our speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. We have many here at North Jefferson who are fantastic examples, who make this feel like home, who make this feel like this is where we need to be. If you feel that you can improve on that, improve. Go that extra step. Reach out to someone, talk to someone, call someone this week and encourage them. Remind them that they're not in this alone. But the other thing we have to realize, and that new converts need to realize, is even seasoned Christians are still transforming. We're still growing. The person in here who's been a Christian for the longest should still be growing in their faith. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, not that I've already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If Paul said that he hadn't reached the height of where he needed to be, especially at the time he was writing this, none of us should think that we can be content with where we are. It's not possible. We should continue to strive to grow. We should continue to be transformed, continue studying the Word, continue to grow together with one another. And again, I repeat, it's the best life that you can possibly live. There are still trials and temptations because it's so easy to be disappointed by the world. When we look at pleasures and the responsibility of the world, old habits are choking new converts as well as seasoned Christians, or can choke out them to the point of unfruitfulness. And as for what fell among the thorns, There are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked out by cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. You know, some people are a ball of fire when they obey the gospel, and even a few years into their Christianity. But you know, sometimes hobbies can start taking away from worship. I hear fishing is a lot of fun. Don't really do much fishing, but I would like to try. I hear that fishing, you get to kind of go off, be by yourself, catch fish. There's got to be more to it than that. That's all I got. But sometimes, you know, we allow our hobbies to take our focus away from what's truly important. You know, sometimes we allow our work to take away from what is truly important. It all goes back to encouraging. So, not only can those things cause discouragement, but we see a discouragement from unconverted friends. In 1 Corinthians 15:33 and 34, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Gerald Ball, who will be holding a gospel meeting in a couple of weeks in Quinlan, Texas, gave us a tip while I was in preaching school. He says, when you study with someone and they obey the gospel, he said, have them write down the names of all of their friends. He said, that way you can reach out with them to their friends to teach the gospel. He said, because if what happens normally happens, if we're able to work with new converts, eventually their best friends should be in the church. There are going to be people that don't like it when someone is converted. And they want to do everything in their power to get that person to come back to doing the things that they did before. And that's a powerful pull, isn't it? As someone who's fallen short because of wanting to get along with friends, I can assure you it's easy. This can discourage the weak and even the strong. When we work with new Christians, we need to extend that friendship to them, to let them know that they're loved, that they're cared for. We need to be that family here at North Jefferson so that people don't feel the need to look outside of these walls for friendship and companionship. Because an unconverted world can be a great discouragement to Christians. So what can we do? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. One of my favorite things to do up here at the office is to sermonize with Chris. I believe it was Wednesday morning. Chris and I met back in the multipurpose room and just went verse by verse through one of the books of the Bible and had a blast. And later on, we sang a beautiful song that we put on YouTube or put on Facebook. And it was amazing. That's the beauty of Christian friendship. We can talk about what's important and we can still have good, wholesome fun. But the focus is always putting God first. In 1 John 2:15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of their Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. If we're going to be the best examples we can be, we must demonstrate that we put God first. We must demonstrate that we don't want to actively participate in worldly things. Our final point this morning. What can stagnate Christian growth is the false conception about prosperity. All you need to do on Sunday mornings is to look at the Joel Osteen show that he puts on. It's a prosperity gospel. He'll use half scriptures to say, if you become a Christian, more glory, more blessings, and all kinds of promotions at work will come to you if you send in your money to me. And people fall for this because people want more money, because people want promotions at work, because people want to be prosperous. And snakes in the grass, vipers, wolves in sheep's clothing, pull those who are weak to gain for their own purposes. I wasn't around when Oral Roberts was in his height. So all I've heard is different things like, my parents had bought an Oral Roberts record, but whenever they tried to put it on the record player, the hole kept healing up. So I wasn't able to use that. Apparently there are two large praying hands that are there at Oral Roberts University, and one of the hands kept falling over. And they were bringing some of the best engineering minds to Oral Roberts University to try to find out why this arm kept falling over, and they would get it pulled back up and it would fall over again. And finally someone said, I think I figured it out. They walked over and put a $5 bill in the hand, and up it shot right back up. False teachers preach a prosperity gospel. But we see that this isn't the case with the Christian walk. Let's look back to the first century Christians. Some were eaten by lions. Some were mauled by dogs. Some were lit on fire to light Nero's garden. And then we look at the 21st century, and a little bit of drizzle can cause people to not come to worship services. What has changed from the first century to the 21st century? It's time we take our Christianity seriously. I'm preaching to the metaphorical choir because you're here this morning. But we can all continue to grow and to improve. An idea of the propaganda of the gospel of health and wealth can be put away with in 1 John 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. When we endure trials, they're not fun. Trials aren't fun. But the result of being obedient through those trials makes us more effective for our Lord. The things that you've endured, the hard things that you've endured, makes you special. It makes you different. It makes you equipped to share what you have gone through with someone who is younger that can use your advice. Some people want to avoid trials. They don't want to endure trials. They want a cakewalk of a life. But trials are going to come. Let's face them head on. Let's work together. Let's love each other. Let's encourage one another. And be prepared for adversity. In Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. I know that we have people hurting here this morning, but you're not alone. We love you. We want to help you. We want to work with you. If you're struggling with something, don't do it alone. Let the family here at North Jefferson be a part of the healing process and help you get back to your spiritual feet. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, indeed all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We have all of these verses about trials, temptations, persecutions, but even with all these things, the Christian life is the best life that you can possibly live. There are no regrets when it comes to doing what God would have us to do. There's no shame in being obedient to the gospel. Let's share that with our new converts. Let's share that with our seasoned Christians. Let's work together and grow together. So we look at the conclusion. Christians, when they obey the gospel, whether it was a few months ago or whether it was 50 years ago, you'll find yourself fighting very similar battles that you fought before. We'll find that where we put ourselves can cause issue if we're around people that want to pull us from the faith, or if we're around Christians who aren't acting as they should. They forget what their goal is. That can stagnate growth. We are going to have to deal with trials and temptation. How we deal with those will determine the rate in which we grow. And that false concept about prosperity. We could be poor. We could have next to nothing. But when you live the Christian life, you know what lies ahead for you. It is the happiest, best life that you can possibly live. I encourage you this morning, live that life. Live the Christian life to its full potential. Get as involved as you can, and if there's something, that an activity that we're not doing here at North Jefferson that you want to do, the elders are receptive to getting that ball rolling. If there's something you want to study, let a teacher know. We want to grow. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one. If you've heard and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and being immersed into the watery grave of baptism to walk in a newness of life, to start this Christian life. There are negatives to life in general. There are negatives to not being a Christian, but when you become a Christian, those negatives, while they may still be there, the benefits will be out of this world. When it comes to an eternity with the Father in heaven. If you haven't been the example that you need to be, if your growth has stagnated, or if you need any spiritual help of any kind, don't hesitate to come forward. We'll pray with you and not just drop you. We'll pray with you. We'll work with you. We'll love you. We want everyone here at North Jefferson to be as strong as they possibly can. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.